The Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. It takes a certain kind of brave to run a business. We see it, we back it. The Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. We see brave, we back it.
Good morning. Coming up, making the most of a strong wind, the death of business class, pounds, acres and pints, and Paul Howard on the two words that tip him over the edge. Later in the show, we'll be exploring what Napoleon had to do with how we measure things off the back of another leader's decision to return to imperial measurements. So if you, like Boris Johnson, yearn for the past, we'd like to know what you would like to see return. We have a prize for our favourite, the winner, a two-night stay for two people with dinner on one night in the four-star Radisson Blue Hotel and Spa in Limerick. A lovely prize, so you can contact us by text to 51551, by phone to 1850 715150. Email thebusiness@rte.ie or tweet to @thebusinessRTE. Well, first, it was a mixed bag in Irish aviation news this week. Michael O'Leary of Ryanair, on one hand, made calls for government help for the sector while being quite bullish about growth figures for Ryanair and their prospects for the future. Meanwhile, Aer Lingus has warned of cost cuts and possibly layoffs. To look at the ups and downs of the industry, we're joined by aviation expert, retired Lieutenant Colonel Kevin Byrne. Kevin, you're very welcome to the programme.
Good morning.
First of all, yeah, Ryanair had their AGM and Michael O'Leary gave quite a detailed breakdown of where things are at now vis-a-vis the airline. And it seems as if he's saying things are going well everywhere but here. Now, he's said that before.
He has said that before, in fact, and he has got a point to some extent. I'm not an aviation spotter, believe it or not, but I do go and look on flight radar from time to time, and I'm always amazed by the sheer volume of traffic over Europe and over China and over North America. Compared to the aircraft that are flying in and out of Ireland, we are really at the hind leg in that regard. We don't have as many flights as we used to have, although things are getting better, because, of course, we were locked down for longer and we had, you know, restrictions on where we could fly. We still have restrictions in places such as North America, which I think we can discuss in a minute. But at the moment, Ryanair and other low-cost carriers, and indeed the legacy carriers, are doing better than they thought they might in Europe now. People are booking ahead. Confidence is not fully back yet for a couple of reasons. One, everybody's not yet vaccinated, as you know, and that's an unfortunate set of circumstances. And two, people may not have the money they had before because, of course, there's so many people who were on the pandemic, and that's true of Europe generally.
And when it comes to aviation recovery and people travelling again, one of the big question marks was how long it would take.
Yes.
And Ryanair increased their targets for passenger numbers.
They did,
up to,
yes,
225 million.
Which is a staggering figure when you think about it.
Carrying,
yeah,
by, is it 2025 or 2026?
Thereabouts, yeah.
And that's higher than they were saying a few months ago.
Yes, so they think it's going to come back. Now, of course, they are very, very good. They have algorithms stating how much each person is willing to pay and can pay. They've got the fare business down to a short detail. You know, it's very good. I looked last night, you can get to parts of Europe and Eastern Europe and indeed parts of the Mediterranean for €19 each way. And that's, of course, to attract us back to flying, because the numbers have to be up there in the 90s. The load factor should be in excess of 94-95% to make it worth their while and to make a profit.
Now, when it comes to fares, and Michael O'Leary has said this before, he is saying that there's going to be cheap fares. You're saying if you look around,
yeah,
they genuinely look that way.
Yes.
For the moment, is it a case of sell them cheap to get everybody back flying again, and then come next summer, it might be a different story. And he alluded to this at the
Yes, it depends. You see, low-cost carriers, indeed all carriers, are very good at predicting what they'll do. But they're very canny in saying, look, we're going to predict, we can put in city pairs joining up. We have these routes going ahead. We'll see how they go. If they don't go, they can be quite ruthless in stopping that. So if the capacity is not meeting their own expectations, if the people are not buying the tickets, basically, they will shut that route down with great,
There is that sense as well that come next year, many Irish people will have spent,
yes,
2 years, two staycations. They'll be dying to get on a plane to go somewhere. There could be less capacity because some airlines may well just have gone bust in the meantime.
That is true.
So that would drive up fares, wouldn't it?
It could do, but there'll be such competition. I think we're going to look at a couple of years more of reasonable fares. There may not be as, there's no free fares anymore. There may not be €25 each way, but there'll be reasonable fares in that regard for the next season. 2022 is not yet certain. 2023, not yet certain either, I think. There should be enough aircraft and enough crews ready to fly, and there are certainly enough airports out there to attract the people. They're giving very good deals at the present time.
Based on that picture around Europe, Aer Lingus should benefit from that as well in terms of European routes. But it's a different story with long haul and the United States.
Long haul is very, it's in the doldrums to some extent at the moment. Although there are signs that, for example, we're getting great connectivity, better connectivity out of Dublin, for example. This is in the commerce, the winter season coming in now. Canadian flights have resumed. Air Canada operate 3 flights per week. Aer Lingus will operate 4 flights a week from Dublin to Toronto. And that's good news. And there are other, you know, flights to Dubai is now once a day. The trouble is the connectivity from further on. If America doesn't let us in yet, we take Americans in now, we can't go there yet. And there's no particular news from President Biden as to whether European Union, you know, the COVID clearances will be acceptable to the Americans anytime soon. And I don't see why that should be.
And airlines don't lay on flights for people going in one direction. You don't fly empty to America Americans
indeed,
to Ireland.
Indeed
that
not.
That doesn't stack up, does it?
It's funny you should say that, because if you look at the figures from July, we had the between April and June, indeed, of this year, we had about 600,000 people flew in and out, but 274,000 were arrivals and 322,000 departed. So there are more people going and back. But aircraft should be filled in both directions, as you know, and low-cost carriers do that to a very great extent.
Now, industrial relations trouble brewing at Aer Lingus?
I'm afraid it is. The airline lost, it's part of the International Airlines Group, as you probably know. So it's not a solo flyer in any sense of the word. They lost €563 million last year. That's an awful lot of money down to the pandemic. It does burn a hole in the cash reserves in that regard. If there are problems with the unions in terms of lower pay rates, layoffs, changes in working conditions and general cost-cutting measures, that leaves a serious problem. If there is industrial action, people run away from airlines with that. This has been proven with the likes of difficulties with Ryanair and British Airways and Air France and all sorts of things like that. People do not book, and that puts a huge hole in the income stream of these airlines if there's a problem.
Management will argue that we've had a torrid time, we've lost hundreds of millions.
That's true.
This is a very serious issue, and trade unions are not getting that. Trade unions will argue on behalf of staff, this isn't an opportunity to just recalibrate and reset the dial on the cost base.
No.
And to change the way we work.
I don't think it is. There's one thing that we should maintain in our minds about aviation, and it's the fact that it's one of the safest of all human activities, even in the COVID times. You have people who are highly regulated. They need training, they need licensing, they need testing. They have to be kept at a certain peak, regardless whether they're flying the aircraft, in the cabins, loading the aircraft, refueling, air traffic control, all of that. You can't switch on the tap on and off. If you get rid of people, it's quite difficult to get them back because they need the regulation and they need to be licensed and trained to that extent. So it's not quite as easy as saying I want 15 people to, you know, stack shelves or that kind of thing, or to drive vans or whatever it might be.
The other big issue for the tourism industry here is how quickly the capacity of all of these routes will come back in and out of Ireland. Now, you're saying if you actually look at it, you know, it appears they're maybe not back yet, but it appears as if things are recovering quite well. Are we going to have to wait a long time to have the routes and the capacity to bring tourists into the country?
Well, tourism is such a vital thing. I just looked at the figure last night. In 2019, do you know that North American visitors spent a whopping 1.8 billion euros here? That's an enormous amount of money when you think about it. What would we have to do to export to get that kind of money in? We shouldn't neglect it, you know, at our peril we do that. In Dublin, and just looked at Dublin because it's closest to us, the 39 airlines will be flying to 145 destinations over the winter period, and that's quite good news from that point of view. UK flights are now up to 305 flights a week, so that's good connectivity from that point of view, whereas we have 831 flights to continental USA. The big problem is perhaps places like Dubai and onwards from them to places like in Africa. Australia and Zealand are close to us. Parts of Africa you wouldn't want to go there, perhaps because of the disease they have, the problems they have with COVID. And people who want to go to certain countries in North Africa might have a problem too. So there are difficulties still there. Okay. What we haven't done probably is promote aviation in this country the way we should. It is a huge earner. We can't neglect it the way it has been neglected, to my mind.
Okay, retired Lieutenant Colonel and aviation expert Kevin Byrne, thank you very much for joining us on the program.